Well, hello everybody out there in Music Video Land. Welcome to another edition of the Music Video Land podcast, brought to you by your super good friends at imvdb.com, the Internet Music Video Database. My name is Adam Farrow. I type stuff in the Internet Music Database for fun and sometimes money. And with me, as usual, is the butterscotch boy, Mr. Doug Klinger. How are you, Doug?
Dude, super good. When did you start getting money?
Well, I was going to talk to you about that, but we'll talk about that after the podcast.
Just funneling it into your account from straight from the advertiser.
It's mostly legal.
One advertiser.
Mr. Adam Alexander, Fringe Music Fix, is not here. He's at Oceaga in Montreal watching some sweet bands. So, Adam, hope you're going to have a good time. But we have no shortage of people on the podcast this week. We have three awesome guests. And they all are part of the Silver Sound Showdown Music and Video Festival in NYC. We'll talk about that a little later. But we have Mr. Corey Choi, the festival director. How you doing, Corey?
Oh, hey.
And we have this past year's winner, winner of the music video competition, Mr. Nick Snyder. How you doing, Nick?
I'm very good. Thanks for having me.
And then on the music side, we have Lisa Moore from last year's winning band, Blood and Glass. Welcome, Lisa.
What up?
that was the most spirited out of the three. Thank you.
Yeah, I should have.
Thank you, Lisa.
Yeah, you two upped us.
Yeah.
So before we get started here, we should, Corey, why don't you explain a little bit about what Silver Sound Showdown Music Plus Video Festival is?
Sure. I mean, I like your use of the plus. I call it music and video festival, but it is written plus because I thought that would be slicker. But basically,
it's a big plus.
It's a big plus. The Silver Sound Showdown Music and Video Festival, that's a mouthful, but you should have known, you should have seen what it was called before. It was called the MVFFBB.
Oh,
and
wow.
And everyone's like, what's MVB? And I was like, oh, it's the Music Video Film Festival and Band Battle, duh. And that's what the festival is. It's a simultaneous music video film festival and battle of the bands. So we have a block of videos, then a band plays, another block of videos, just straight through the whole night. And the concept is the winning video gets paired up with the winning band. And in the following year, we produce we collaborate to make a music video together, and it always kicks off the collaboration. Always kicks off the next festival. So next festival, we'll be premiering our music video that we just wrapped on, and we hope to have Blood and Glass come back and kick off the show.
And are you guys focused primarily on directors and bands in the New York City area?
Well, the festival's there. The festival's there, but Lisa's from, you know, Blood and Glass is from Montreal, and Nick came in from California, and we had you know, music videos from Iceland and Poland and all over the world, actually. So you know, it happens in New York, and you know, we're based in New York, but the festival is really open to the world.
And so then this might be a better question for the other guys. Is it difficult then to collaborate on a video that you guys aren't in the same location, or was that something that you had to work out through the process?
Not necessarily. I mean, I sort of designed the concept or pitched the concept that I felt could be collaborated on beforehand, like over the internet, you know? But no, I mean, it was... These guys were great. They were extremely easy to work with, and they knew what I was going for, and they wanted the same things. And yeah, it was a little like we didn't get the sort of, you know, meetings in a room before we started shooting, but we had a few once I got there, and I was able to spend a little time there too. So no, it was, you know, I think I got an adequate amount of time with them, definitely.
So for last year's Silver Sound Showdown, you won with a video. It was MK Jackson, Lost Boy Found, which is, if anybody wants to see it, we'll put the video in the show notes at imvdb.com/podcast.
Very cool.
Which is a really, I love this video. It's a really amazing animated video. And, you know, wondering when you kind of win this contest to work on a video, you know, with the winning band, did you feel like, you know, you would do the same style, or did you guys kind of start from the beginning in terms of the concept?
I mean, it was... I guess I pitched something that I felt could get greenlit, is the short answer, and that I felt comfortable doing. But I think, yeah, to some extent, I wanted to do a similar thing because I knew that that I could achieve that, but also that they saw that I could do that. So, you know, I kind of constructed an idea that was sort of similar, but it evolved it, but it also used New York. It utilized the city, because I was very thrilled about the win and very thrilled to get a chance to get out to New York to shoot it, actually. So it was a little both. I think I just wanted to come up with a cool concept, first of all. But yeah, just sort of understanding what I'm working with was important to my process.
And Lisa, I'm curious, you know, because obviously we talk to a lot of, like, people who entered videos and festivals and stuff, and from a filmmaker's standpoint, I think it's, you know, pretty clear to kind of go into a festival like this to help get your name out there, because frequently a filmmaker for a music video isn't getting highlighted. I'm curious what the biggest draw for you from a band perspective was for the Silver Sound Showdown.
I mean, I'm always inspired by visuals, and every one of the songs that I come up with has a sort of visual kind of metaphor or a hook that you can really see. And I was really going, my friend suggested I apply, and I was going to meet directors. I was like, we're not going to win, you know? let's go and see if we can score something, and, you know, because our music is pretty moody, and I think I'm always sort of coming up and looking around and coming up with different metaphors, like using a merry-go-round for addiction or, you know, things like that. And then I was like, I'd love to work with somebody and work together at you know, maybe they start with the visual and I'd work off that. And then, you know, we played, and when they announced us, it was like, what? So, yeah. And then when we saw Lost Boy Town, we were like, what?
Same intonation. Yeah, I heard it
a little higher.
So the video you guys are doing, a video for the track Paper Heart. How did you guys choose that track out of all your songs to, you know, to be the one that you did the video for?
Well, Nick's the one who chose, so I'm gonna let him answer that, but I will preface it by saying, both Nick and Corey were awesome. They listened to every single thing that I had in the vault, and discussed everything. And it was just really cool to feel understood and heard before they made their decision, you know? And then Nick, I don't know what made you choose Paper Heart.
Yeah, I probably chose the harder one. Maybe that's, I'm not sure if that's, it was down to two songs in particular, that the first two that kind of just jumped out at me. And I spoke with Corey and we discussed the two, and then we sort of regrouped and I thought about it, and I don't know, I guess it was the imagery and ultimately the concept that I came up with, because I was kind of working on a concept for each. It was this other song called Floating Nora, which is a terrific song too. But it ultimately came down to, I think, having a concrete concept that sort of came out of Paper Heart is really the reason why.
Can you guys tell us a little bit about the concept?
Yeah, absolutely. It is, so I work in downtown LA in Little Tokyo Arts District area, and there's a lot of street art. There's a lot of wheat paste posters. Shepherd Fairey lives close by, and we get the Obey stuff all the time. And I'm just sort of surrounded by all this, and I'm not a native Angeleno, but I've been here for about 5 years, so I've been seeing a lot of it, and I've been interested in, I don't know, just how it sort of plays, and not necessarily the art, the street art world, but anyway, the video kind of comes out of that, and it's sort of what if street art came to life, what if a wheat paste poster singular came to life, and sort of it evolved from there, and it became this kind of ode to the world of street art, but not really being about graffiti, more about the kind of two-dimensionality of being sort of on a surface. So Lisa is the only person in the video, and she's performing and sort of navigating the walls of New York, and interacting actually at some moments with the city. So it uses a lot of different locations. We're kind of all over the place, but some that are kind of site-specific moments where she's interacting with, say, like she's sort of on a ledge, or she's interacting with a pole, or, you know, and then some kind of surrealist sort of stuff as well, but kind of all playing to that world, that sort of street art world that I've kind of been surrounded by.
Now, do you handle a lot of the visual effects yourself, or all of them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all of them. Well, I've got a couple people that I work with that have been helping me, just sort of that I've collaborated with before, that'll be around to kind of, hey, how does this look, you know? And, you know, a guy that does 3D, Cinema 4D type stuff, and another guy who does a lot of After Effects work and scenic design and costume work, and he sort of helped with the pre-pro stuff a bit. But no, it's mostly me. Yeah, oh, nice. All me. I mean, Corey does have a few people that are going to help out with. We have an editor, and we've got possibly a colorist, and certainly some eyes over at Silver Sound.
And so, Corey, I wanted to ask you, because you're so involved in this process, you know, of bringing this music, or, you know, creating this music video, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about, I'm interested in hearing about, like, the origins of this festival, because it has such a unique concept. This came about?
Yeah, I mean, I've always loved music videos and music. In fact, when I was in, you know, I always thought, at first, you know, when I was in high school, I thought I wanted to be a musician until I realized that was hard. You know, I've always had a love for music videos, and, you know, after MTV went the way of the dinosaur, and then VH1 went the way of the dinosaur, and then MTV2 went the way of the dinosaur, there's really no place in the world for the music video anymore, and I really wanted a place where we could really celebrate the music video. And I was like, okay, you know, and New York should have a music video film festival, so we're the first New York music video film festival. But, you know, it's not the most, you know, I'm sure you're familiar with Beavis and Butthead, where they just watch, you know, like, thousands of music videos in a row. At some point, you can OD. I mean, I think one night is about, like, the max, so one full night. But you can probably, you know, that's why we're like, okay, something should split this up. What should we do? Maybe we should have some performances. But then, you know, I really wanted an opportunity to create and a chance to work with new people and new bands and new talent. And so it's really exciting because we're bringing, you know, a lot of times record labels just kind of like pull producers out or pull directors out of the air, and they're like, okay, this is who we want to do your video artist. This is a lot more collaborative. A lot of as Lisa was saying, a lot of bands and directors in the same space, they just meet up and they end up working together. Or sometimes directors that work together as prize winners end up going off and doing, you know, many more videos. One band, Hank and Cupcakes, and one director, Matt Bachelman, end up doing four videos together. It's really exciting. Nice. They did one with us and three more later.
Wow. And what about for the upcoming showdown? What do you guys got a call for entries going on now?
Yeah, we just opened up call for entries. Early submissions actually ends tomorrow. But there's still regular submissions will be open pretty much through Thanksgiving. And it's really exciting to see, you know, there's an outlet for the big videos and the big musicians, and they're welcome in the festival too. You know, there's been some larger bands and larger videos in the festival. They're all welcome, but it's ultimately definitely it's more exciting, it's most exciting for me to see, you know, some of these independent directors like Nick and you know, these bands that I may not have heard of, but, you know, some of the bands have gone on to do really well, and some of the directors have done some crazy things. One of the winning directors from previous years, after winning the festival, went on, and his next video was a Kanye West video.
Nice.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I forgot to tell you. Maybe I'll wait till the end.
Oh, you're Kanye West. I knew it.
Yeah.
What do you,
it's
do
a,
you
natural,
know,
it's a natural progression.
Do you know what video that was? Just out of curiosity.
Which Kanye video? I'm not sure. But I know which director. It was Justin Kramer, and he won our festival with a Portugal the Man video, which was beautiful. Mm. It was a claymation.
So wait, how long has Silver Sound Showdown been going on?
So this will be the sixth festival. We had one skip year. So we'll say 6 years. This will be the sixth year. So we've made a lot of videos, and actually there's a grand prize winner, and there's another. We end up making a couple videos actually every year. We don't just make one, and it's fun. It's because we love it, and we bring together. What's really exciting is, you know, we have a large filmmaking family here in New York, and sponsors as well. So we put together like a pretty great crew. There's a lot of resources that we like to make available to the prize winners. So there's a lot at their disposal. We get a camera, like a top-notch camera, a DP, full grip and electric. There's options for two shooting. Usually, one of our sponsors, Parlay Studios, gives us a shooting day. So we shot our green screen day for this particular video at Parlay Studios in Jersey City.
Which is awesome.
Oh, they're amazing. They're absolutely amazing.
Yeah, very legit. It was great.
Yeah, they've got a beautiful facility, and they also share our love of film and music videos. So they go above and beyond. Not only do they, you know, let us use their space, but they actually physically help with the crew as well.
Nice. So you also get some crew help. And Corey, are you taking like a producer role in these videos?
Silver Sound produces the videos. So we actually have a team. This year it was Reed Adler and me. We both work at Silver Sound who took on the like quote unquote producing roles. But, you know, there were a good seven to 10 people from Silver Sound who helped out with the film.
Oh, yeah. No, I can second all that. It was it was a great crew, really great crew. Everyone knew what they were doing, and were very enthusiastic, very supportive, very collaborative. You know, they're there to work, but also there to have a good time. It was a cool experience, and yeah, Corey did a great job, and Reed did a great job, and I was really, really pleased with that collaborative process as well. Plus, Corey looks terrific in a bowler hat.
So this podcast is going to be out on Friday. Friday is the last day of early entry, right? What's the difference between early entry and regular entry?
$4.
$4. All right. Well. I want you guys to get that $4. So I'm going to tell people starting Saturday to start sending stuff in. And because you deserve
well,
that $4.
This is kind of neat. So the way we fund the way the funds for the video happen actually are when people, we take the ticket sales for the show for the actual festival, and all the profit goes actually towards the budget for the video.
Oh, nice.
Oh, wow.
And that shows at the Brooklyn Bowl in January.
Yeah, that's a festival. It's at Brooklyn Bowl in January. And Brooklyn Bowl, by the way, is, I mean, you guys, it's like a crazy concert venue, and it's also perfect for music videos because you've got the giant screen on the stage, and then you've got huge screens over every lane. So you're watching, you know, what better way to celebrate a music video than having just like, you know, there's no real seating. It's just like all these people standing in rock concert mode, and then like 16 large or however, I don't know, a million large screens all around you, and people are watching music videos and celebrating the way they should. They're shouting when they like it. They're, you know, they're talking and laughing. It's a lot of fun. It's very, you know, it's not formal and stodgy like some festivals can get.
And a bowling alley is kind of like a classic music video location. There are a few places you go into public and have them still playing music video, but bowling alley is one of them places that you go to. You walk into any bowling alley right now, and they're playing "Ride with Me" by Nelly. So you guys go check
one on planet Earth.
Put it to the test. We've got proof and take photos.
I think Doug just say those are. That's one of them places. I think he did. I'm gonna rewind.
I did
that.
Because I ran out of breath. Listen. I ran out of breath, and I wanted to get all that I had to say because I didn't want you to talk over my joke like you always do.
Lisa, what was it like playing at the show last year?
Oh, all I can say is it was so well organized and really diverse, and I couldn't believe the amount of people who were responsive to what I do, because I do feel it's not for everybody. It's kind of like, you know, the Tim Burtons of the world would dig it, you know. And so I was just blown away by you know, everybody's out there, kind of. There's an energy in a room that's really like all the directors are there, and future directors and other people, and a bunch of musicians, and then people who just love, you know, the marriage of image and sound. And I will never forget it. Honestly, it's nice and long. You get a serious hang, you know, but it's also like, I don't know, kind of like a playground for grown-ups who like arty stuff, you know.
And and for me, it was, sorry to interrupt, real briefly, it was... I'm glad I went, first of all, because if I didn't go, I went to one, which is...
Yeah, you have to show up to get the grand prize. We give out other prizes, but the grand prize, the director's got to show up in person.
Nice. I like that. That's sweet.
Yeah, yeah, you got to celebrate the art, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, but it's just such a refreshing change, too, from the typical film festival circuit kind of feel, you know, where you go into a screening and there's the... sort of mandatory Q&A afterwards that not many people want to do usually, and it sometimes gets a little repetitive, but this atmosphere was the complete opposite of that, and it was a lot of fun, very refreshing.
It's a really smart way to use the changeover. I've played a bunch of festivals, and there's always that like between band 20-minute section of, you know, dead air, and now it's just like you get just to watch, you know, all the last year's videos and whatnot, and so it's you're constantly being, you know, aroused by different forms of art. So it's pretty sick, pretty sweet. Mm-hmm.
And people are already juiced up by the music too, so they're standing and kind of, that's a kind of a different way to experience music videos in a concert venue like that.
Yeah, and there's one thing that I really like too. In New York, there's kind of sometimes there's a lot of venues and there's a million people, and there's just like all these things happening at once, you know, once. And so a lot of times there'll be shows and people will come, and there'll be five bands on the lineup, and they'll come for one band and they'll just kind of leave after that. What's great about this festival is you get exposed to new music videos, but you also get exposed to new music. You mm-hmm. see the crowd come and they stay. They'll stay for 4 or 5 hours, so it's really fun, because it's not just like, oh, I came to see my band, now I'm gone. It's like, oh, I've come to this festival, I'm gonna stay, I'm gonna have fun, and I'm gonna experience some new music. And you know, the one thing if I could change anything about the festival, it's really a celebration of everybody there. If you've made it into the festival, you're a finalist already. You've been culled from like hundreds of entries, so the only wish that I had is that we had enough sponsors and money to just like make everybody a video that performed. that's really the ultimate goal, I think, would be to eventually have a festival where we could literally pair up bands with every band with a director. I think that would be really, really exciting.
And what's the program size in terms of bands and videos that you'll see if you go?
So there's five bands that perform in competition, and the winning band from the previous year will kick it off. And then there's 21 music videos in competition, and then sometimes we have a few special. You know, we have the grand prize winning one. We usually showcase two to three videos, you know, to kick off the festival that we've helped produce.
That's a good number. 21 is a palatable number. Yeah. Especially when there's, you know, because you were talking about before how, yeah, if you watch maybe, you know, 20 music videos in a row, things start to get squirrely after maybe that 15th video.
Yeah.
You know, no matter how good they are.
Yeah, just your list today, same thing. I had to spend <after. laughs>
Well, that's a good transition point then, I guess.
I was going to say the one thing is, so when for the selection committee, they're talk for the festival, you know, we've got a good selection committee of a lot of people, and they watched, you know, like 300, 400 music videos to choose which ones got in the festival last year.
Wow.
That sounds like our life.
Yeah, that is our life over here. Yeah. Corey.
In the clock orange, where like they're putting the eye drops.
That's the Silver Sound Showdown screening room. Complimentary eye moistening. So Corey, for directors who want to and bands who want to submit or to be part of the festival this year, where should they go?
They should just go to silversoundshowdown.com. And it's alliterative this year. I'm very excited. We just changed the name this year, so we're trying it out. Silver Sound Showdown. It's got a ring, I think. Before it was Music Video Film Festival and Band Battle, which was just boof. It was mvffbb.com. And I liked it. We got these cool T-shirts that say boof, and you know, it's a conversation starter. They say, "Hey, what's boof?" And I'm like, you know, there's dinosaurs on it.
The T-shirt I got is like vintage. It's like
yeah.
Dinosaurs.
Relic. Yeah,
it's an eBay literally. Item right there. Yeah, because
yeah, that's actually the only. That's actually the very first festival shirt ever, and I guess that's the only one that's going to say "Mboof" on it.
So, Corey, if you liked it, why did you guys change it?
I liked it because it said what it was. I changed it because nobody else knew what it was. Do you guys ever have that with trying to say I music video IMVBB.
Well, it's funny. It's funny you should say that, because our original name was filmedinsert.com, which is an old term for music videos, and people, like 99% of people had to like repeat it to them, and it would like started off a 10-minute conversation about what filmed insert was.
99% of people didn't know what it was and 1% didn't answer. Nobody actually knew what it was because neither did we.
But we totally understand. Yeah, IMVDB at least once people start saying it a bit and they get the hang of it, it kind of says what it is on the tin.
Exactly.
But we get it. We definitely understand the name angst.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think you guys landed on a good one. We're cool with this. Whether you say music and video festival, or if you are like Adam and say music plus video festival, either way, I think it works. We're on board with the name, and it sounds like a super fun time. We will link to it in the show notes for anyone listening who wants to. Learn more about it or enter.
All the videos in festival. You can see every single video that's been in the festival for all 6 years on there. It's pretty neat. And it's kind of nice because it's a curated festival. Each year is curated by the selection committee. So you're guaranteed to get some really great videos in there.
And I would direct people to MK Jackson Lost Boy Found video directed by Nick Snyder, which will be in the show notes as well. And then Lisa, there's a glass and blood and glass video, sorry, excuse me, for Inferno, directed by Thomas Lasorde. Would you like us to direct people to that as well?
Sure. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Thank you.
It will be
here we are directing them. Here we are.
Yeah, here. Just like a you know, with those airline orange cone things.
We made it, guys. We did.
Nick, you mentioned the watch list
forth 15 minutes
ago. Yeah, so we should we should talk about some of the music videos this week because this was a big week, and we gave you guys
this week. Oh, I see. Cool.
These are all this week. Every week on the podcast, we talk about some of the music videos that came out this week because there's a never-ending onslaught, as people listen to the podcast may know. And Doug sent you guys a lot of videos. Every time Doug makes a list up, it's like 10 videos.
And that's every time. And Adam's always like, yeah, keep the list low. And I'm like, yeah, definitely, I will. And I send a list of like 8 to 12 music videos over, which is low to me. So let's talk. We're starting with Katy Perry. I don't care what you say.
Yeah, we're going to start with Katy Perry because this video came out today. And Katy Perry is somebody who's talked a lot about on the podcast because she is at the end of her album cycle right now for Prism. I think this is her like 5th music video off of Prism.
It is.
And she's kind of had some hit and misses. Roar was the first one, which just this week, coincidentally, went in the top 10 music videos of all time. That's not bad. Directed by Grady Hall and Mark Kudzi. But then we had some.
That's a 581 million views.
That's right. That's their
not bad.
Yeah,
two directors thing.
Yeah, it was a big video. There was an elephant in it and a lion, I think.
Right. So one guy was just big. Directing the elephant.
And then we had some interesting. We had Unconditionally, Dark Horse, and Birthday. I think those were not as effective, but this video is fantastic. Directed by Mr. Joel Cafali, who has directed a really interesting mix of some, like Toon Yards and Dentia Insane, but also, you know, Tennis Court for Lord and Royals for Lord, if you're talking about huge, huge singles. And I thought this video was really fantastic. I think this is a great video.
That was Ninja playing basketball?
Colorful stuff.
No, this is the one that reminded me of like the hamster dance. Do you remember hamster dance from like the early internet? I was like, oh man, yeah, wow. Totally this one.
That's funny because
what's that?
Go ahead. We're still talking about Katy Perry, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still on Katy Perry. So hamster dance is we wrote a blog post about this video today, and we mentioned a lot of the pop culture references in there, and there's a ton. My favorite is the Pee Wee Herman suits that the dudes are wearing. But we should have mentioned hamster dance because totally, that's like woven in the fabric of this video is the soul of hamster dance. I definitely this could be my favorite ever Katy Perry video. That's a little. That might be a lot of hyperbole going on for this podcast, but I really love this video. Definitely my favorite from this album.
Yeah, I thought it was well put together. I love the transitions, just the flow of everything, you know, and the mix of animation with live action and stuff, which I like a lot. I thought, and then all the nods to various, you know, pop culture moments or art movements and stuff.
It was definitely overload,
you know, like Distill,
right?
And it was totally overload.
Oh yeah, Nick, you got the Distill stuff in there?
Yeah, that stuff was cool. Where they're, you know, she and her backup singers are standing in front of the painting, and they're kind of lost in the painting, which is kind of cool. It's extremely well put together.
Yeah, and it's a lot of practical stuff, and it's a crazy amount of setups too. Insane amount of setups, and despite that, I wonder how long. Katy Perry was there for. Last week we talked with Evan Proflowski, and he talked about how a lot of times music videos get shot without the artist present, except for when the artist's in the video. And Katy Perry's in most of this video, so she was on set for several hours for this, changing her clothes and hair a lot, and that's pretty sweet. And I think we should pause for
Katy Perry.
Yeah, thanks, Carrie. Thanks for doing that for us, so we can watch it.
So I had a question for the whole panel. There is a out of all the kind of things that are dancing, like the treats, like the ice cream sandwich and the ice cream, they're all kind of dancing. The watermelon is drunk. The ice cream sandwich is definitely super high. But then there's something that is twerking, and I don't understand what it is. I've been thinking about this all day, and you can kind of see what my life is like now that's what I've been thinking about all day. But it's like it's white. And then pink on the top, and then has white on the top again. I have no clue what it could be.
I think it's an ice cream cone.
Yeah, but who has seen a white ice cream cone?
Well, it's stylized.
Yeah, they took some artistic liberties, I think, here. Yeah. Maybe it's like the inside of a banana split? Yeah. It's hard to tell. It'd be a very short banana.
Yeah, I'm going with ice cream cone because it's pointed. It's also pointed. at the end. I agree that it's not the color that I would anticipate for an ice cream cone, but I'm going ice cream cone.
I'm going to go with Katy Perry's bra.
What?
That works as well.
I'm such shot that it's
Katy Perry's bra. That's a much better answer than mine.
Oh, I do have to say, like, everybody is dancing like really hardcore in this video except Katy Perry. Does that mean she doesn't have any moves, or does that just mean, like, what does that mean?
It could mean that.
You're right. People are dancing.
Like Pee Wee Herman's pulling his weight in like seven different ways.
She's more of a kind of a posing deal.
And kind of like bobbing her head. Do you think that, like, it's... I was wondering, actually, because there's a lot of head bobbing going on. Do you think the costume changes could have been somebody else's body?
That's a real possibility.
Ooh, just her face onto people. Maybe it's just her face was filmed and technology.
You could do a lot, right?
Man, yeah. that's crazy. I could. That would be really insane. That they. I mean, I'm not putting it. It's just like a video that's so tactile across the board. Other than that 2D animation, it seems out of the spirit of the video, but. Maybe I'm wrong, but like the spirit of this video seems so like in camera, hands on. You know, they're rolling up car wheels, and you know,
that
it's
was
like,
cool. It's like Spice commercial.
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of that stuff, like the sets moving and stuff like that. And I think because of that, that would go away from the spirit of the video. But maybe I'm wrong.
I think it was a joke, Doug.
No.
Yeah, Doug's like taking it super serious. Like
it was a little. A little bit
oh
of
my
a joke.
God! Guys, I've been waiting for three episodes to say the word "spirit of the video," so let me just have my moment. Just have my moment.
Well, I feel like Mariah Carey was the spirit of the video, right?
So that Mariah Carey was played by somebody named Josh Source. So this was a man playing Mariah Carey.
Wow, interesting. But it doesn't come off as making fun of her, does it?
I don't think so.
I thought
even
it was
though
her.
It's a man.
Well, it was a wide shot, so it wasn't her. I was fooled.
I read somewhere that on Facebook that it was that's someone who's a Mariah Carey impersonator generally. So maybe it's a man who generally impersonates Mariah Carey, which is fine. We're open to that on the IMVDB Music Video Land podcast.
Mm-hmm. I'm an ally.
Sure, totally.
Yeah.
This is a safe zone here.
Right.
Yeah. I'm wondering how many hairdressers were on set, because there were some hairdo changes, let me tell you.
So there were, and I'm looking at the makeup and hair, because we, you know, I don't divulge our secrets, but we've got the full cut. I think, how many credits are in this, Doug? Maybe like 60 or so?
There's a bunch.
It was a big, and I'm looking at like three hairstylists.
Wow.
I think, and then a few people that are just makeup, including
and then some of them are like designated artist makeup, and then some of them are like the background, because the background people are used in various scenes as well, and they have a lot of costume changes as well. But so there's the artist makeup dude is frequently credited with Katy Perry. That's her homie. So, which makes sense.
Who did the makeup on the dancing pizza?
We've got that right here. It was
there were probably more than three.
Oh yeah, that was a whole crew right there. I should commend this video because I just learned the phrase "thought" yesterday. THOT, from Diplo's AMA on Reddit, and this is used in that video. Does everybody? I want to show my knowledge off here. Does everybody know what thought means? Apparently means that hoe over there, and that's like the new. That's a new kid slang. We're on the cutting edge here.
So hip with the youth is being a jerk. It sounds like
super jerky. It's actually not super new. I don't think anything that's in a Katy Perry video is new. That means that it's like. Finally hit the mainstream. So I mean, I've been saying thought for like ever.
I have not had one thought ever.
Yeah, this will be my first thought tonight.
I think we got a podcast title right there.
That's it. Oh man, I hope we don't have the word thought in our podcast title.
So we should move on to another video. We obviously won't get to the whole list, but let's pick some fun ones out. I would like to talk about, should we talk about our old pal Lana Del Rey?
Yeah, let's talk about this. Let's blow through this video real quick, because that seems to be what they did when making this video.
Well, so I have to defend this video a little bit, because Lana Del Rey obviously has a new album called Ultraviolence, and she's been doing videos off of it, and she's done some really, you know, high production value videos, like West Coast and Shades of Cool. And this one, you know, when Lana Del Rey kind of came onto the scene, she came on with music, but also with her two music videos for video games, and I can't remember the other one.
Blue Jeans or something?
Yeah, it was one of those. Yeah, Blue Jeans. And they were apparently edited and kind of put together by Lana Del Rey herself, and they had this a lot of found footage, but then a lot of, you know, footage of herself, kind of like lo-fi, you know, old-looking footage. And this is kind of a return to form for her a little in some ways. I mean, it's directed by her. It is really simple concept. It's just kind of her in a wedding dress kind of hanging out. There's no found footage.
I do have to say, though, that is kind of theme is girl in wedding dress walks through woods. That is a music video theme that does come up a lot if you troll through IMDb for a while.
We should make that a tag and see how many videos we could tag with it, because I bet you it's a lot. Yeah, Adam, I think that was a fair attempt at defending this video, but you know, this is like you know, it took like them 18 minutes to make this video, so. It was literally shot on an iPhone. She was probably wearing these clothes already, because this is what she wears all the time. And they were like, some man was like, okay, she gave some man her phone and said, I'm going to walk over there. And then she did, and they made a music video with it.
You guys should really put together a playlist, like a link list of girl in white walk through woods or graveyard or whatever. Have an option for wedding dress, you know.
That's gonna, by the time this, we're gonna link to it in the show notes, because by the time this podcast is live, that will exist, for sure. And so there are good things about this video. Lana Del Rey is super cool, a super cool lady, and that is also true in this music video. But I'm pretty bummed out by this video.
So. I like the juxtaposition of like really natural light and the forest, and then like these ultra fake looking lips.
Yeah.
That was weird. Yeah.
And the minute she started sucking that guy's thumb, I was like, who directed this? Oh my God, Lana Del Rey directed this. So I just, then I had like a kind of a chuckle thinking like of her going like, okay, hold the camera and stick out your thumb and I'm going to suck on it.
Right, like I love the fact that you're picturing that as a planned action, and I support that as the truth. That was completely planned. They drew that out, like, oh, it's gonna be sweet, and then you'll put your hand in my mouth for a music video, and then we'll premiere it on Noisy. All of that was planned.
And totally, this phone can now shoot in slow mo, so we got options. Like, you know, it's gonna be the bomb.
Right, and then they edited it in like one of those apps that allows you to put like music behind your vines, and they just and then shipped it over to Noisy. Okay,
wait, hold on a second. I just one other quick. Actually, I had something to say about this, but then I lost it. Let's go to the next one. Never mind.
Okay, on to the next one.
The song's great. I like the song a lot. The production's great.
Yeah, this whole album is great. And actually, I was going to say that last week we had, as Doug said, we had Evan Proflasky on, who shot the West Coast video, which is now nominated for MTV VMA for Best Cinematography.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And, you know, he was talking a little bit about Lana Del Rey. First of all, that she's not as firm of a hugger as Paul McCartney, but she did give him a hug. But also that she's, like, really hands-on with this kind of stuff, and she seems to have a really firm direction and vision for her image. So, I mean, this, you know, say what you want about it, it definitely fits into the Lana Del Rey kind of branding that she's got going on.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, Lisa, I'm glad we cut the you in a wedding dress walking through the forest moment in our video.
Just finding thumbs and sucking on them.
I'm keeping that. Yeah,
that's the whole treat. That's the whole treatment right there.
That's mm-hmm. that's the podcast title. Just finding thumbs and sucking on them.
Oh, what a thought.
Oh, jeez. Adam, introduce the word thought into the podcast and we'll never leave now. Let's move to Mystery Schools Paralyzed, because I think Lisa mentioned this earlier before. This has a bunch of monsters or ghosts, ninjas, some awesome dudes, and they're hooping it up. They're playing ball.
Yeah, they're, NBA Jam with the Grim Reaper.
Right. Did you guys listen to the commentary by any chance? Any of you guys try that feature out?
Oh, no, but I saw the alternate video. There's like three alternate videos for the same song. It's very interesting.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah. I didn't know about that. But anyway, this one's super fun. It literally was inspired by NBA Jams. If you listen to the director commentary, Bo talks about that literally being a reference. So that's
boom. Great. Who's on it?
We all love NBA Jam, right? Everybody? All of us?
Yes.
I can speak for everybody.
Influence, but yeah, I mean, that I think we all kind of.
That's really universal NBA Jam with humanity, to inform, you know.
Right.
Many exactly. life decisions, too.
Food, water, and NBA Jam. That's what we
Boom
all
need. Boom shakalaka.
That's right. Adam's wearing a shirt right now.
When I played basketball in elementary school, there was always a smoke machine around, you know.
Nice. And it was at night with moody lighting on the fences as well, and you could dunk, right? You were dunking like these guys.
Totally.
She does catch on fire when dunking. I've seen it.
So yeah, anyone who has played NBA Jam would know that if you were on fire, if you made three baskets in a row with your man, the hoop would burn up when you'd make a basket, and that actually happens in this video as well, which is a super cool thing to have happen. It's also the Miami Heat logo, so also more fun basketball facts. This turned into a basketball podcast real quick. Let's bring it back.
I like the fact that the kind of details are in line with the whole aesthetic for the video. So the basketballs are black, and then the shoes look like some sort of gold foil has been like taped over them, which is kind of I like that, because you could go either way, right? If you're like, you know, shooting this music video, you could either have everything around them be the same as in real life, or kind of stylize them. So I like the way both.
Yeah. So you got it wrong. It's a 2-for-1. They just ripped off the gold foil and did a Nike commercial right after that.
Right. Immediately we're able to do that. This is all actual NBA players. This is Dwayne Wade and everybody else. That's the one basketball player I'll name.
Well, if we're talking about really stylized music videos, we should talk about Movement. Ivory by Movement, which is a Fleur and Mano video. And if you haven't been following these guys are kind of like the art house cinema kind of champions of music videos right now. They had they've been turning out some really amazing work, most recently for Gefaffelstein. However you say it, for Pursuit and Hate or Glory for Gefaffelstein, and Gunshot last week for Licky Lee, and now we have Ivory by Movement, which has a ton of sexy times and nudity.
There is a lot of that stuff.
There is a lot.
That one.
What's that, Lisa?
I related most to that video.
Because that's what it's like when you have sex, right?
You're in a large cube.
Like paint all over the place. That's awesome.
Well, did it remind anybody else of I forget the name of the artist, but who kind of takes like these old timey paintings and then puts them in modern settings? So you've got these like weird. You know, paintings that you would see in the Met, but they're wearing jeans or something, and they all kind of look like those people. I forget the artist's name, though.
Like sort of like a Dutch old masters painting, kind of like a not a Caravaggio, but like a Hans Elder or something like that.
I'm going to sound dumb if I try to name the artist, but there's a contemporary artist, and it just reminded me a lot of this video.
Yeah, if you find that, send me the link, because I'd love to check that out. It definitely does have, like, a very art... this is a terrible reference, but it reminded me of, like, the Da Vinci Code, kind of.
Interesting.
Cool. How so? Right. Can we explore that a little bit?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Let's.
So the Da Vinci Code has the has kind of a sex thing going on, right? Isn't there some sex in the Da Vinci Code? Some like kind of ritual sex, or is that like, am I imagining that? So, but
we're gonna let that hang out there for a sec and give you a cut point. This video actually came out last week, but I decided to bring it into this podcast because it came out Friday. We didn't get to talk about it, but now we did. I think we covered it. I think we should move on because there's a couple more videos that we ought to talk about. Right, guys?
I thought this was real quick. I thought this was the strongest in that it took a concept that I felt, oh boy, where are they going to go with this? But then it kept evolving and evolving and evolving, and it kept my attention the entire time, and I think that's hard to do. And I think a number of these other videos kind of were on the same note throughout the video. They didn't change very much.
Also, and this how one, did those people hold still? Like, it was really beautiful, because you could see that it wasn't just shot at 1,000 frames per second. You could see they were actually posed. Yeah. It was really beautiful.
And yeah, some subtle movements, but that also like kind of it adds to it because it lets you know that they actually are standing still right there. So there's subtle movements back and forth. It actually adds to it instead of taking away from that effect.
Mm-hmm. I liked that the actors looked like as if they should be painted in the Sistine Chapel, like no makeup and very pure looking. But for me, I found that it only really captured me when the colored paint started coming on board. Mm. I found they waited very long, which is an interesting choice, like editing wise and whatnot, for that sort of stuff to happen. Because then, to me, it started to tell a story on a more of a
not just doing it level.
Yeah.
What do you guys think they were kind of? I never really get the narratives in music videos a lot. They kind of pass you by sometimes, but I'm wondering what they kind of were realizing looking at themselves, or what kind of mental realization they were coming to.
I mean, for me, I thought it was that split second of that kiss after they talked about what had just happened with the the pregnancy test or whatever, and it's that sort of abstract representation of kind of what flies through your mind at a moment like that, possibly.
No, I mean, that's how it is for me, duh.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Because at the end, they break away from the kiss.
Oh, yeah.
And then he sinks into paint.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure where the paint is for, but I did. It was beautiful. It was it's a beautiful video. Like all the Fleur and Mano videos, they're shot so naturally, even when there is a lot of sort of supernatural things going on, they keep it very, very realistic.
And they always build like that.
That juxtaposition of something so natural, like sexuality, and then having certain shots where the bodies look almost alien, or I don't know, just these close-up shots of like, well, what's going on, kind of like that orgy scene in Zoolander.
That's not where I thought you were going, but yeah.
And this is a pretty pretty graphic video, definitely a Vimeo only video. This will not ever be on YouTube. I'm weird, and so whenever I see it in cinema, like or music videos or anything like that, like when there is like a sex scene, I, for whatever reason, like always in my head, just like figures out how they did it, where'd they hide the guy's dick,
to make it work, high genitals,
right, very, and so, like, so like
how did they do it but not do it.
Right, and in this video, there are parts where they could not have possibly not done it. Like, there are parts where, I mean, these two people probably had a previous or current relationship with each other. I can't imagine these just being actors, but I could be wrong. Actors also do that. So, that's very, very graphic, super graphic. If Adam Alexander was on this podcast, he'd say something weird about it, but he's not here, so.
So now you're alone.
I did it for him. Let's swiftly move to another video that I really like for this week, and that is There's a Beast and We All Feed It, which by Jake Bugg, which is a song and video that the title of the song is longer than the video itself because it's only a minute and 30 seconds. And I had a lot of trouble saying the name of that title just now. Anyway, this is also a super, super beautiful video shot by Jackson Hunt. What'd you guys think of this one?
So charged.
It's charged. I like the contrast, actually, because it's not what you'd expect from Jake Bugg, you know, being from the UK, and his accent kind of comes out in his music, and but it fits, you know. I think it kind of, that real kind of cutty style and the really charged sort of imagery in the South.
It was literally cutty, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And this kind of reminds me a little bit of the Portugal the Man, Modern Jesus video, in that it's a kind of a mixed medium, mixed quality, not a road video, but a kind of like montage of Middle America video.
Have you guys seen the opening to True Blood?
Yeah.
Because it's got this Southern Gothic thing going on, both of them do, and and it seemed almost to me like an homage to the opening to True Blood. I guess it was really beautiful and disturbing imagery. I just wonder, do you guys feel like the video earned it all the way, I guess, is my question.
Earned,
like, particularly the some of the more violent parts. I feel like if you're going to have that kind of violence, or that kind of that kind of imagery, I feel like you should be
motivated.
You should be saying something, and I think it was reaching there, and I don't know if I feel like it quite earned that level of
yeah. I think I'd agree with Corey on that one.
It's interesting because it was like flashing images, as you say, it was cutty, whereas like it would probably be more powerful if they chose a couple stories to draw out, and then, you know, but I just felt it was an artistic choice to make it that way, and it made me think, yeah, I guess we're constantly, you know, being bombarded with stories of violence and whatnot, and I just couldn't tell if it was all, was it found footage or shot, or
I think half and half.
Yeah, definitely the stuff that's like, obviously, you know, there's a few different sources, so definitely the stuff that's the nicer source was shot. You know, there's a DP credited, Jackson Hunt, and so all that stuff was obviously shot. And they may all be, though. They might have just used multiple camera sources like they did in that Portugal the Man, Modern Jesus video. They just had a bunch of different styles of cameras out there, a bunch of different people with cameras. This is a more contained video than that, so it would actually make that for doing that even easier. So that could be the case. We should talk to Bob Harlow, the director, or Jackson Hunt, and find out. We get to the bottom of this, because that's what the IMDb podcast is about.
I think Lisa had a really good point. I think Lisa actually had a really good point about the video, too, that, like, the title really does, now that I think about it, you know, I was thinking of it without thinking of the title, but that's really, like, what brings it together as a story, I guess. Mm-hmm. I totally missed that upon first viewing.
Yeah, there's so many things that are so kind of chaotic about this video, how short it is, how long the title is, kind of how chaotic the music is, and I feel like, you know, for the violence in there, I feel like how fast it's cut and the fact that we don't have any time to, like, grasp on to people or places or make any sort of connections, it all kind of lends itself to this feeling like you could walk into this environment and this is all on the surface. Like, there's, like, you can run into, you know, this baby alligator or this church or these people with guns. Or the most disturbing one for me was at 20 seconds, a guy shoots a handgun in somebody's pants. I don't know if that's a real person or not, but it freaked me out. But just, you know, the kind of the mixing of the mundane of, like, somebody, pouring stuff out of a deep fryer, as well as somebody playing Russian roulette, just kind of... I feel like it added to the sort of chaos they're trying to communicate about this place.
Yeah,
but I'm waiting that the sequel video that will, like, you know, start telling the story almost. Do you know what I mean?
Just, yeah, like, totally.
Like Corey saying, it was, I think it was you, Corey, who said it was like the intro to True Blood. Something like, you know, it's like flashy, and it definitely worked well with the song, the like scratchy guitar and the fast pace. I think they complement each other really well. Like if I saw the video alone or the song alone, it would be less strong. I think it's a good marriage there, but yeah, I'm like waiting for something else. Yeah.
There actually is, I don't know if you guys know, there is a sister video to this, kind of like a follow-up video to this video. It also came out this week, and that's called Chasing the Sun by Hilary Duff, directed by Jackson Weisblum. That's like the sequel. Like
you
the
so
yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. Oh, let's talk about Hilary Duff, guys. Can we talk about Hill for a bit?
This is Walter yeah. Duffy.
Let's do it. I mean, yeah. So that's not true. In case you guys didn't realize, that was a joke.
Well, but, I mean, a return to form for Hillary. Truly.
Well, this is directed by Declan Whiteblum, who has been on this podcast. Who is a fantastic director. He has directed the first 4K music video, Taylor Swift's "We Are Never Ever Getting Back Together." And if you look through his kind of catalog, his style is this kind of video for really established artists, you know, like a lot of Taylor Swift, Demi Lovato, Mary Lambert. He also directed the Mary Lambert Secrets video that came out this week. He directed Mean by Taylor Swift, you know, Sugarland videos.
One Direction.
Pixie Lott. Yeah, so this is, you know, he's a director that is doing these level of videos, and he, you know, he works with a lot of sort of country crossover artists. He directed the Pixie Lott video that had, who did it have in it? Pusha T in it? I think Doug. Anyway, he directed a really kind of crazy country rap crossover video. But anyway, so this video is kind of takes, the song's called Chasing the Sun, and Hilary Duff is and stuck in an office job where she's not having a lot of fun, and she's kind of imagining of what it would be like to be on a beach somewhere.
With a handsome man with a tight, short bathing suit.
Tight, short bathing suit.
Yeah.
Yep, there's a couple butt shots of handsome man, not Hillary, that, you know, I don't know if that's a directorial decision. They were there.
Right.
I saw this video and just wanted to like slow the track down into like and like take one of those like black smoke can things and like and make everything turn you know dark.
You wanted to bring it to the NBA Jam video.
Yeah, like, you kind of
wanted to like a mashup.
Yeah, three baskets in a row, fire, boom shakalaka.
Adam and I were talking about this before, and we're a big fan of Declan Whiteblum. He's a really fantastic director. I would have liked, because this is Hilary Duff's first single in a while, right? This is kind of like a re-entry of her into the game, and I would have liked, you know, just like a video that's like a little bit, I don't know, riskier more. Maybe, just something that's like, you know, this is a, you know, I don't know how to, because like this is a great video and it's really well done and she's super funny in it and there's a lot of really funny moments, but I would have liked something that's a little bit more like We Can't Stop by Miley Cyrus or something for just like this re-entry for Hilary Duff.
Yeah, but the song isn't going to lend itself to that. You can't do something that the song doesn't allow you to do in this sort of case, especially with Hilary Duff. Right.
So basically what we need to get back to is Hilary Duff write a different song or have a different person write a song for you. Then go and make a different video. No, you're right. That's a great point. Adam, you squadoosh the point that I took from you in a conversation we had earlier today.
It's a long con, yeah.
Weren't you just waiting for Ben Stiller to show up?
Oh, sorry.
Yes, we were waiting for Ben Stiller to show up. That would be fantastic. He would fit right into this world. Lisa, what were you saying?
I was just a little disappointed that she was still going on this like cute train and that there was no like wink nod to like I'm much more grown up, and it was like still this sort of like PG, not even 13, like geez, PG like 6, you know, in today's world. And like, yeah. I don't know, a little wink nod to something, a little like dark something, I'm not sure, but it was just very, very fluffy, and it inspired me to create art that is not like that.
Well, that's good. That's helpful. I feel like there were attempts in the concept to bring some maturity to her in this. I mean, she's like in an office environment at the beginning, but like in that environment, she's like being pushed around by people who just seem like older than her, which lends itself to some really great moments. There's like a really funny scene where she's drinking coffee out of a martini glass and like looks over at this like bigger lady, and like the lady like gives her like a what kind of look, which is like a look that Adam makes a lot at people who look at him at Chipotle weird.
It happened like, today. Yeah, it happened today.
And that was funny. I laughed at that. And so anyway, that dynamic worked. But yeah, I wish she was fucking shit up a little bit. And that's maybe not that, but just like a little bit more.
Well, I think it's important.
Risk all around.
An interesting indicator is in the screenshot for this video, she does not look like Hilary Duff whatsoever. She looks like a completely different person. And the same thing with the Chasing the Sun single thing. She's being styled more like a crossover country artist than anything else. And maybe she sees, you know, there's a bit of a saturated market in the Miley Cyrus's and Katy Perry's of the world. Maybe she's going to the country market. You never know.
So you think this could be like a rebranding type?
Yeah, something that's not as out there as, you know, the We Can't Stop. That's sort of like a Stop the Presses kind of thing. But it is definitely a trend toward, you know, that you bring Declan Whitebloom on for something, because he brings a certain quality to a project.
So are you saying going more Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen is actually an act of rebellion then, because they don't?
Wow, that's bold. That's deep, actually. It's just
what you're saying, because they don't want to be go the other way.
Yeah, I mean, you got to make money. You got to position yourself to, you know, as something, and I think she's she's behind me. She's more behind the game than Selena Gomez is. So she's gotta do something to kind of grab a niche market. Anyway,
real briefly, I think it was Hilary Duff being Hilary Duff from like 5 years ago. Still, like to have her as an actor, even though she was like, yeah, sure, she was the laugh of the office, but that was the character she played. Yeah. So it's just throwing her back into the ring as the exact same character, even if, you know, a nod to her sort of, days as an actor. That's the one thing that I felt like if she's going to perform, be a musician in the video. You don't have to like throw everything but the kitchen sink into it. So yeah, I don't think she evolved very much. But I think it's going to do very well. I think it'll.
Well, and it has. It's rocking 8 million views right now.
Well, there you go.
In a handful of days,
For the week, that has 8 million for the week. That's pretty, wow. Okay.
I mean, it's a big video. She's still a super popular artist. I think that makes sense with what you mentioned, Adam. Just going back to the Declan Whitebloom thing, you know, about him being a great director to like further an established artist's brand. I mean, that's something that he's been able to do time and time again. And so, you know, this being the same thing that Hilary Duff was doing 5 years ago, that seems to be by design. It doesn't seem like there was an attempt to like do what We Can't Stop did for Miley, which was like reestablish what she was bringing. I mean, that what she's done since, what Miley's done since then has followed in that trend. But like, if you compare Party in the USA to We Can't Stop, that they're completely different. And so,
oh no, one and the same, dude. Very, very similar. Yeah,
right. So obviously, like, that wasn't the move. Hilary Duff is like just trying to keep on rocking with what she was rocking with before, and you can't hate her for that.
There were no wrecking balls in this video.
No, unfortunately, no wrecking balls. But she didn't run into a wall.
She like wrecked the.
She was her own wrecking ball.
Yeah.
Ocean brought it into the office, like 4 tons of sand on everyone, and
directed by Declan Whitebloom and Terry Richardson.
Bring them together.
So I think we've covered it. I think we
no. There was the really really awesome one with the dancing that I loved.
Pushing on.
Let's do that one. Yeah, let's talk about that one.
It was fantastic. I just loved it.
So this is Oliver Dollar Sign and Jimmy Jules.
I think it's Oliver Dollar.
Oliver Dollar and Jimmy Jules pushing on.
Corey plus Oliver Dollar Festival plus. What up?
Man. And so, yeah, who wants to explain the concept of this video? Because it's really simple but pretty genius.
I take a stab at it.
Go for it, yeah.
I think it was a terrific example of less is more. You know, you got one location and you have a character that's aging or aging, and it's sort of the course of the video, the character's dancing and dancing and dancing, and he's aging and aging, and it's sort of the same day, and slowly and gradually you sort of realize that the environment around him is changing with the character, as if, you know, it's a different, you know, fast forward in a few years. But it's just, it just keeps your attention the whole time, because it's got this energy that, you know, there's people dancing on screen, you can't look away, plus they're aging. And I think it's also a great example of a video that these people know what they're working with, and mm-hmm. they just totally rock that. And they just draw every last, you know, sort of morsel out of the concept. And I think it was a terrific example of that.
Yeah, it was so joyous, you know? It was just you could tell it was just like really joyous. Though I do feel like I wish there was one more age between hair going all white and I thought they missed.
Yeah, that guy was kind of miscast. He didn't quite look like the rest of them. The second to last guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's probably an extremely complicated video to cast. You need to basically get, you know, like 10 people, each of them like 10, 15 years apart from each other, but still have like similar physical characteristics as another person. And it goes through essentially a whole life cycle. The video starts before the music kicks in. You see a pregnant woman. And then as soon as the music stops, you see a little male baby. And, you know, through, you know, as the video progresses, like, you know, it's a new person in the same clothes. And yeah, like you mentioned, the ground beneath them, you know, he basically like starts to dance it a little bit into the ground as it gets older, and that's one of the things. The shirt becomes more tattered.
He actually dies at the end. We see him die.
But it's not so. It's interesting because it's not, I'm not sad at that point though. So to me, this video is kind of like a celebration of life. It brings you to the whole life, and like this dude's whole life is just spent dancing. What an awesome way to live. And he's just like dancing, and then like when you see the older guy at the very end, like kind of like grab at his chest right before the death part. But he's still like happy. He's still got like a grin going. Like he doesn't seem upset to be dying. Like this dude has just been busting a move for like 90 years. Like that's great. This dude lived an awesome life, and I think that this music video is an essential celebration of that. So I wasn't upset when he died. I thought that was the perfect ending.
Now, I wasn't familiar with this artist. Were you guys?
No,
and I had to look to see if it was an actual and or a featuring, which is a thing of aggravation when you run a music video database. Because no, I hadn't, but they have independent Twitter accounts. I don't know if that helps.
The song was rocking. I totally dug it. I thought it worked really well. It was a little reminiscent of older Moby in a good way.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It was one of those videos that works so well with the title. Like, you're watching it, keep pushing on. At first, I saw the woman in pregnant, and I was like, oh boy, keep pushing on. Okay, we're going to watch a woman give birth or get picked up. And then just it cut to the baby right away, and then it cut to the little kid, cut to a kid a little bit older, and they all kind of dance the same as well. So you see this, like, attention to detail, like definitely those kids were like directed to move in a certain way. And I like something that addresses, like, you know, our own the life cycle and involve including birth and death in a positive way, you know. So you keep looking at Keep Pushing On, and you think about dance as like a celebration. You don't really dance unless you're celebrating something, or it's definitely a recreational activity. And it's like you see past the, you know, the hardships and as we all grow up, like this person just holds on to that sort of celebratory kind of mind frame. It's awesome. I thought it was
really...
Where
did you guys find this one? Because I just loved it.
We're familiar with the director and kind of, you know, just like follow lots of people on Vimeo and that kind of thing. And it just kind of came across, you know, we stalk people who make music videos like weirdos. So that's how.
That's
I mean, it was awesome. It was something that I'm actually really glad that you put it on the list, because out of all of them, this one really, really grabbed me, and I was like, wow, I'm really glad I watched that.
Right. Yeah. It was also Vimeo staff picked recently too, so nice. That's it's starting to bubble up.
Well, let's do what we normally do at the end of the podcast. Go around and say our favorites of the week. And Nick, would yours be the pushing on video?
I would say, looking through back again, I would have to say Ivory was my favorite.
Nice. Fleur and Mano video.
It got away with what they did, and that's hard to do, you know, to have that kind of nudity, but then it sort of be motivated by all this stuff, and for it to work, it's like, yeah, okay, these guys know what they're doing. And then the evolution thing that I was talking about earlier. I don't know. It's a tie, really, between this and Pushing On. I think Pushing On works great because you do get lost in it. You don't think about how they did it, really. You just kind of enjoy it. And that's sort of the ultimate kind of goal for filmmakers. But yeah, I'll say for one answer, I'll say Ivory.
Corey, how about you?
Yeah. What he said. you said it really well. But I just so we can have some diversity, this Pushing On made me feel really great. There were a lot of great things about all, you know, most your whole list had a lot of really great things on it. But I would say Pushing On, just because I was just so happy after watching it.
Happy is good instead of being pissed off by certain other videos. And Lisa.
I'm going to have to say Pushing On, because I'm such a fan of a simple, stripped-down idea that keeps your attention and works and makes a statement. And I really felt this video nailed it. Like, you know, I love getting those feelings of when I look at different works and going, I wish I thought of that. You know, it's so simple. Why didn't I think of that? And I love how it just did that to me. It's really beautiful.
And now I feel like an idiot for possibly passing it over at the end of the podcast. So, Doug, what out of these this week, what would you call your favorite?
I'm going to do this just to make you feel a little bit worse. I'm also going to pick Pushing On by Oliver Dollar. and that's why. That's how come. Just because I hate you.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Jesus. Wow. That hurt to say, because it's not true at all.
Okay,
but you know, you gotta throw narrative. You gotta throw narrative into this stuff these days. It's like a reality show, right? Like, if people think we hate each other, they'll be more like inclined to listen and be like, oh, maybe they'll be like, you know, trying to read between the lines and stuff. So I'm just thinking ahead, right? I'm trying to add narrative here.
We'll talk about that later.
Like the Lana Del Rey video with all the narrative.
Exactly. She walked from the garden to the closer to the house. So for mine for the week is, I'm going to say This Is How We Do by Katy Perry. I am a huge pop video fan. I just, like a great pop video. And if you had asked me, I didn't know this video was being made, but if you had asked me some of my, like, dream combinations for pop star and director, I definitely Katy Perry and Joel Cafale would have been on there.
Totally.
And I just thought this video was really, for a pop video, and I don't mean that in a derogatory way at all, was really masterfully put together. And it's funny because I read a lot of YouTube comments, and they were really kind of negative toward this, in the same way that that great video for Problem by Ariana Grande was kind of panned by a lot of you know, fans of Ariana Grande. But I think this is going to be one of her more popular videos. I thought it was great. So so there we go. That is our podcast. This is episode 117 that I forgot to mention at the top of the podcast.
So damn, you guys are old.
Yeah. We've been talking. Yeah. They're not all worth listening to. So thank you guys very much. This was a lot of fun. Corey, Nick, and Lisa. Yeah. And if you are listening to this and you are thinking, I should probably submit my music video to Silver Sound Showdown, you should do it. And we will have the link, everything you need to do, or everything you need to get started on the podcast show notes page, imvdb.com/podcast.
If you're a cheapo, you submit it today, Friday, or support even more, spend the extra $4 and submit it first thing on Saturday, 12:01 Saturday, and spend that extra $4 and make it a better day.
And then in addition to that, if you get in, go.
That's show right. up. You can't you there. Literally can't win the grand prize award. Which is, I think, is awesome because there's nothing sadder than saying, "Is this person here? Is this person here?" No. So it's awesome. So great. We'll see you guys next week.
I can tell you have 6 ice cubes in there.
Actually, let me count them here. Holy shit, there is 6 ice cubes.
Wow.